Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 118, part 2, making the second rate into the first rate. Today is Sunday, October 25th, 2009. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And you know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, which means you're a baby boomer, or you're disabled with proof, maybe you're a veteran, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. and register your household for monthly groceries. Be sure to do that. We have plenty of food and we'd like to help you out. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our Pastor Paul's operation. So be sure to help us out online. You can also join our online community, and up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, where you can subscribe to weekly podcasts, Life Vantage, supplements, YouTube, you could watch some of our videos, and Twitter. Be sure to join me, Janine Sherry, on Twitter, where you will see a Twitter stream on Thursdays while I'm recording Pastor Paul's message. So be sure to check us out and join me on Twitter. When you go to Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to be able to leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. So be sure to go to Pastor Paul's blog, and you'll also see Pastor Paul's show notes there to the podcasts. In that, those show notes, you're going to find interactive links to the scriptures within Pastor Paul's podcast. So be sure to go to the blog and link to the scriptures after you listen to his message. You can also email me at janine@pastorpaul.org. And as you know, Pastor Paul's podcast is twice weekly. On Friday is part one, Sunday is part two. So be sure to listen to both parts. It's the same episode. Glad to be back. Maggie is my computer. I always name my computers. I don't know. It's just one of those quirks I have. Anyways, Maggie is back. Maggie and I are back. We've been gone for 2 weeks. Maggie had a video card. Literally, she went blind, and that was it. And so now she's seeing again. I can see her. She can see me. We've got the video card. And also, Dr. Greg at the Digital Garage, where I took Maggie, he was able to help Maggie to be able to kind of clear her head out a little bit. Major files, major podcast files, 115 episodes and going strong. So Maggie needed room. So anyways, I want to let you know the names of the messages that you're going to be able to hear on Pastor Paul's podcast this month. Two loves, Eros and Agape. Let us look upon the faithful. Comfort comes from constancy and making the second rate into the first rate. As always, Pastor Paul's messages are incredible. You will learn so much, get so free, and just really be blessed by his messages. So thank you for joining me. Be sure to check us out online at www.pastorpaul.org. If you need groceries, be sure to call us, 612-521-4665. Register your household for groceries. Have a wonderful month of October in Minnesota. It's beautiful. We're looking forward to a beautiful Indian summer where we're out in the yard getting the garden cleaned up and ready to hunker down for winter, which is coming on. So God bless you. Have a great month of October. God bless you.
Anyway, a complaint was made that the Greek widows were neglected by the Hebrews' food administrators. And Philip was chosen to reconcile and to make peace. And I think in every situation, from the personal situations to the city situations to the state situations to the international situations, there is a need in the world today for men big enough in the spirit and in attitude to reconcile the opposing points and persons and to bring them together. And I think that is the work of the church, to be peacemakers. Not to become involved to the point of taking sides, but be that common denominator, if you will. Be that one that says, come, let us talk this thing over. Come, let us counsel together. Come, there's a food shortage over here. Come on in city. Come on in federal. Come on over here, private enterprise, and let's talk it over. I think that is reality. I think that is Christianity at work. If the politicians were such men, we'd have no war, would we? If we would gain, I think, God instead of gold, that would take care of the coldest cold wars that ever were. Don't you? Many times I think politics is the art of seeing trouble everywhere. That's how we keep our jobs as a politician. Oh, there's a lot of trouble. And we see it everywhere, and then we diagnose it wrong. We apply unsuitable remedies. Isn't that right, politician? I think it's the seeing of trouble everywhere. It means the art of seeing enemies everywhere. I don't think we got as many enemies as we think we have. And I think if the Church of Jesus Christ was actively involved in ministering the gospel and serving people, we'd find out we had a lot of friends. You never know anyone's friendly until you prove yourself to be friendly. Well, I went to a certain church, you know, it was so cold in there. No one come up and said, howdy, how are you? Praise God for you coming, brother and sister. Oh, what cute little kids you have and all that sort of stuff. Well, prove yourself to be friendly. Don't always wait for the other guy. Preachers, don't always wait for the government to do everything or for private enterprise to do everything. No, you make a move. Now that's faith. And make a move with nothing. Did you know that God can make something out of nothing? Oh, look at yourselves. Well, you are nobody till somebody loves you. Nobody till somebody... What? Say that word. Whew. You know, there's another song, I cried for you, now it's your turn to cry over me. Well, that's another song, isn't it? That's not being reconciled. That's getting even, isn't it? Oh, God, help us all. Oh, politician, hear this today. Philip, with his reconciling spirit, is the most needed human being in the world today. Oh, glory to God. He recognized the material, and he recognized the spiritual, and the secular, and the sacred. I think the apostles, if I read this right, and I'm most certain that I have read it right, I believe they unknowingly drove a spike into life by saying in Acts 6 and 2. Because later on, it changed. It is not desirable that we should drop preaching the word of God to attend meals. It began a separation from the spiritual and the material. Now I'm saying here the material could be managed by the lesser and more secular principles. That's what they said. Well, this person is more suitable to serve meals, better coordinated than the hands and feet and so on like that, and they'll be able to do that. And we're just going to get into prayer and so on. But you know what? Later on, God caused a shaking. God caused a fire in the upper room, and they left two by two, scrambling out of there. What had happened? There was a whole lot of shaking going on. Hear me, preacher. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Isn't there? God's been shaking me. How many are getting shaken lately? Oh, I am. I mean, you're getting shaken right down to your toes. You're getting a good look at ourselves, aren't we? Aren't we? I am. Oh, God. How can we do too much for the Lord? How can we be defeated when we're filled with the grace of God? But even though they didn't mean it this way, but look at the church today, busy arguing and not serving. Arguing. Now somebody comes up, I'd like to know more about your church. And they open the door up and there's two preachers in there arguing. Or there's people in the church. Well, you know, there's some things I don't like. I heard people when I go out, because I'm a preacher and I got ears that are just, whew, man, they pick up everything. Ooh, yeah. Remember that when you're whispering in here. But I go out and I hear them over there. There's a whole table. And the people all dressed up, their ties, pins on, neat. You know, these sharkskin suits on, you know, silks and the pointed shoes and everything, you know. One thing that I don't like about the church, I think they should change. When they change the choir master, I think we should try to get him back again. And one other thing, and so on like that. And I think that every so often they should take the pastor and farm him out to some other place. I think every 3 or 4 years they should get. That's because they know it's too much about you. You don't want to change. Somebody got hit on the radio right there. Didn't you? You do not want to change. You want to change pastors. You got hit during the message right between the eyes. You didn't like it. Your wife was upset. She called on the telephone.
Furthermore, I didn't think it was very godly.
Shut up over there, you kids!
Every time I get on the phone, they're just... Praise God.
Oh, God, they're getting it today. You're catching it, aren't you, poor dears? Well, I said it, and I'm glad. Real glad. welling up glad. Aren't you glad? Well, some of you shaked your head, yes, some didn't. What does that mean? See, this became their attitudes, and it has to become ours. Didn't Jesus feed as part of the gospel? But they were more holy than their Lord. And they separated the two into two different worlds. Aren't they singing that now, the material and the spiritual? Two different worlds. We live in two different worlds. You serve the people their food, and we'll give them the word, huh? We'll claim their souls while you give them the food, huh? They've separated the two. See, you're not spiritual if you're feeding somebody. Well, you ain't going to have nobody to preach to. If you don't feed them, they'll die, dummy. Isn't that what's happening in Ethiopia right now? Isn't that what's happening in India right now? And where is the grace? Where is the grace? Glory to God. There is a work to be done. Well, God, we got to start to challenge people that the material and the spiritual got to go hand in hand. And the establishing of the Christian is a Christian that's established in every good word and in every good work. First fruit, and then prayer and salvation. Then you give them plows. And you've eaten, and you have the word, you've received the word, it's working mightily. Pick up the plow! Don't turn back! Don't make furrows this way, go straight ahead! I'll never forget waking up. You know how you're half awake? And I probably have ministered this a dozen times. I have to say it again because the Lord put it on my heart. Anyway, I was laying there and there was these plows all over, turned up. Some were stuck in stumps. Some were laying over on their side. Some were ditched up forward. Some were laid back like this. And God says, see all them plows out there? Before you even start a work on the north side, you're going to have to pick up all the plows. Maybe this is ministering to you someplace where you're at it. India, Africa, Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, Osseo, Columbia Heights, Fridley, Bloomington, Richfield, Wisconsin. I don't know. But he says you'll have to clear off all those plows. And then I had a lapse there, and all of a sudden I seen all the great big pile of plows in the corner of the field. You know what? There was one plow there with my name on it. You know what the Lord said? Don't turn back. I've given you a message. Don't turn back. And it's been the hardest message to preach because I think it just is a little bit before its time. I'm not bragging or saying anything like that. I'm saying I think everybody got the same message, but it was popular to believe certain things, so we got caught up in that no plow message. Negative. That's negative plowing. That's the old stuff. We don't do that anymore. We claim things. I mean, we don't have no blisters on our hands or calluses on our hands, no. We just sit down with our little dainties and our tea and crumpets and we claim things in the name of Jesus in between phone calls. Ooh, see, but the apostles made their ministry spiritual and appointed others to the very material end, okay. But in the end, everyone. Yes, I said everyone. Only wants to deal with the spiritual. You give people a choice of just being spiritual. Now take this right. I'm saying spiritual. You know what I mean. Purse lips and the whole bit. Phoniness, self-righteousness, and all of that. You give people choice of just sitting around, always learning, and never coming to know Jesus Christ. And the reason they don't know him is because they never work out what he's put in them. You really know someone. Did you know that when you work with them? You want to find out what somebody's made of, work with them. It's real quiet. When you mention work, it gets so quiet I can't believe it. Is it a disease or some kind of thing? Is it? Hey, breathe a little bit on the radio. You know. You hearing what I'm saying here today? See, there's got to be a match. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Make me a match, huh? La da 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 da. Working the word, working the word, word, and the word working. If I am the walking, talking epistles known and read of all men, I am the word walking, working. Oh, hallelujah. It's so much fun. I can hardly contain myself. But they were always praying for help but never helping, and they end up hiring folks. You know what a wrong spirit is when you have to hire everybody to do a donated work? Don't you have fun? He comes down and he does all kinds of things. Today, you're going to get to tear up carpets downstairs, praise God. And then tonight, we're going to spray for roaches. Oh, why'd you have to say that? Because we got roaches. Praise God, we got somebody to spray for them. You hearing this? And he's willing to do this. And one night he was down here, and all I could see with his was his feet out of this fogging device he had. Where is he? And we had to get way down on the ground and look. Brian? Brian, is that your shoes over there? I see them moving. Are they yours? I get a little worried because, see, they were like this. But he was getting a shot at something, I guess. But see, he's dedicated. He is really dedicated. And our two street people that are working with us now, they're dedicated. And we had a fellow come in. Is he here today? Our guard? What's the guard's name? Is Roy here? Roy, are you here? And he's a great big old guy, and he was playing on this harmonica. And he got so close up on the guy's face, I said, "Brother, come here." I says, "The joy, it's great to have that joy, but don't get too close to that guy. I mean, you know, he's trying to eat. Do you think I overdid it? Slightly." Are you hearing this? Are you hearing it back there, brother? He's out there sleeping in one of our cars. Hey, I'll tell you, it's so great. How many are hearing this message today? Whew. Oh, God. Whew. Oh, I love to see a spiritual body coming in so I can put it to work. Oh, it's been so long. And what have you been up to lately? And I want to talk for a couple hours. Mind if I come in for a few minutes? And they want to talk, and they want to talk about the church they just left. And why? You know what I tell them? You better get on the horn and make it right. You'll never be happy anywhere. If you leave with the church's blessings. Of course, maybe you're blessing the church by leaving. I don't know. You got to straighten these things out. Hey, I'm honest. You only live once. You might as well live it honest, right? But you see, the apostles in this instant put asunder what God had joined together. In Jesus, the Word became flesh. In the apostles, the Word became spirit. And here started the division with the economic, with the social, and with the political forces. None of them were controlled in any way, shape, or form by the Christians. They control only the spiritual. That's how communism was born. That's how prayer was chased out of the schools. You know what? It wasn't really chased out of the schools. It was chased out of people's hearts. Isn't that right? So I said this, I'll say it again. If a kid wanted to go to school with half of his head pink and half, you know, blue, and a clown's outfit on, he would do it. In the name of rights. Now, why isn't a Christian can't go in the name of rights and just, who's going to stop you from praying anyway? If I would have been a Christian during those times and someone told me I could not pray and I could not praise God, rebellious as I was, I would have said, "Praise the Lord!" Of course, it might not have been in the right spirit, but I mean, I would have done it. Isn't that right? What can you do with a bunch of Christians that are saying, "Praise the Lord"? You could take over the grocery store. These people are just mean. They're standing in line with these carts. nervous people, lazy people, mean people, sad people, depressed people, dangerous people. Bump into their feet with your cart one time. Them folks need Jesus. And what are you doing? You're sitting there looking at them. Ooh, these are a miserable looking bunch. Or maybe you're thinking the same things they are. I think maybe what we ought to do is just say, praise the Lord. Seems like you're always waiting in line for something. But one thing I don't have to wait in line for anymore. I was saved here some years back, so now I don't have to wait on that anymore. It's already here. I'm already enjoying it. What do you mean? And you go on out and give your witness away. Why not turn all that around? See, but we're so spiritual, we're judging all these people. Oh, God help them. I pray for them. I claim, Lord, that they get the full joy of the Lord. Unless you do something, you know what they're going to do around? They're liable to turn around and slap you up alongside of your head. Because God wasn't in that prayer. You have to have an extension of that prayer. Lord, feed these people. It looks like they might even die yet tonight. You know their need, Lord. Thank you. Those people in that line are just as dying as that person that's laying on the ground with no food. See, there needs to be a balance in the whole thing, doesn't there? Why did you walk up like that? Because I'm wearied of saying that. I really am. God, it's so obvious. But praise God, America is turning back to God. Hallelujah! We're in the last call. We are preaching carpenters. We can pound and preach. Or we can preach and pound. And here we have Philip given a tray and he served the world. God on it. And the guy says, I'll take a ham and rye. You know what he said? He says, ham and cheese on rye. Pay no attention to the speck in your brother's eye. Something like that. See, he had fun doing it. Another guy over there says, I'll take apple pie. Okay, apple pie. Hallelujah, by and by. And he had a message with it. I'll take another piece of bread. Man cannot live on bread alone. We need a reconciliation between the two groups, the born-again believers. We need to offer Jesus Christ and stop debating water baptism. Pastor Paul, what are your views on water baptism? Do you believe in water baptism? I said, yes. And he says, why? I said, well, you want to know why? I am first a believer. And a believer first believes in that. But that's not first. See, the world needs a savior, a drink first, and then a baptism. That'd be like a man, see, out here in the desert, and he's dying, and you have this bucket of water, and you walk up and throw it on him. There, you're baptized. He needed a drink. He needed Jesus first, and we're putting things ahead of Jesus. That guy on the cross didn't go sanctification and water baptism. He didn't speak in tongues. But today, I'll see you up in paradise. You hearing that on the radio? Oh God, how we need to get together on this thing. That we only have to simply knock upon the door. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. Simply ask, simply receive, and it will be opened unto you. Can I say one more thing before I quit here today? If the races, and I'm talking about the church, the Christian church in races, do not become reconciled, there is a doubt about the grace that is within you. Did you hear that? The devil picks up the races like puppets. She picks them up. Isn't that right? And we can always find reasons for hating one another. We got so many powers now, I don't believe it. Italian power, Irish power, Catholic power, Protestant power, black power, Greek power. And you know what? None of it has any power. Because it's separated from the love of God. You sitting here today and you feel like you have no power? Maybe you're in a siege of backsliding. Maybe you have left your first love, or maybe you put your eyes on the preacher. Well, Rudy Tooty Tooty, huh? Well, Rudy Tooty Tooty to you too. Say amen, somebody. Rudy Tooty Tooty to you Tooty. Said it and I'm glad. You know what? When you come to a church, you're looking for a perfect church. I told one person this. I said, if you find that perfect church, don't go in there because you'll ruin it. There is no such thing as a perfect church. A perfect church is when the New Jerusalem comes down and when we meet Jesus in the air to be made like him. That's a perfect church without spot or wrinkle. But I'll tell you something. Each one is going to have to go through the fire as if by fire you're going to have to enter in. If you're made out of rubies and sapphires and precious stones and things like that, you'll get in that way. But I'll tell you something, if you're made out of stubble, straw, and hay, you'll still make it in. It says, yet ye shall be saved, but you're going to be standing there with one hair on your head and smoking tennis shoes and diapers on. What a way to enter the kingdom of heaven. I think it's time we all get busy and start doing something for the Lord. And nothing thrills me better than to see people delivered by the power of God. That is so neat. You'll see somebody and all of a sudden they're transformed, translated out of this present evil world. And they're in their right mind. You know when people get in their right mind? When you get in your right mind, people are scared of you. When I was nuts and I was going out and I had my times in my life, the boys' schools and the prison and the skid row and the alcohol and the drugs and all those things that we always like to hold our garbage. My garbage can is worse than yours. No, I'm not doing that for that. I'm not getting into that for that. But I am saying, when we are transformed, when we are translated, and we know that the grace of God has done it, we take no credit for ourselves, we fully understand the grace message and what Jesus has already done, then we're fit for the kingdom of God and we're fit to minister to somebody else. Maybe you're sitting in here right now and you've got some kind of sins that's plaguing you. Oh, God, it plagues you. You're feeling really bad about it and you don't know what to do about it. Give it to Jesus. That's all you have to do. Say, Lord, I've failed. Oh, now you're going to make people go out and sin. No, I didn't tell them to go out and sin. I say, if you do, there is one advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, that's interceding forever for you. And if you really start to know what sin is all about, you know you're sinning all the time. If any man say he be without sin, he's a liar and there's no truth in it. Now when you get next to the truth and you think you're telling the truth, it's actually a lie next to the truth. It's like having a 2-watt bulb next to a billion kilowatt bulb. So there we are today. How many heard his message today? Wake that brother up. You might miss the amen. Don't want him to miss that. Well, at least I caused rest. You were rested in here? Praise God. So glad you people came today. I'm so glad you all came here today too. And if there's someone in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, you can know him today. So if you're